What's it all for?
Various artists.
Alaga's Taraka Sabul's first solo exhibition at Season Aotearoa. The title itself has a double meaning, by which it can be read as either Alag, as in the Hindi word for separate, apart, parted or different, or Alag, as in a lag in communication or a glitch in some sort of system. The images are drawn from Hindi iconography, continuing a theme in Sabul's practice of exploring and reimagining well-known motifs, as seen in paintings of horses and felines, for example. The works show a continuation of a side of Sabul's practice, which uses an airbrush tool to paint onto raw canvas, creating a dyed effect and bold contrast. I had a kōrero with Tarika about her practice and Alag.
I sort of find ways to narrativize my personal relationships and political landscapes within a South Asian mythological framework.
Mm.
And my practice is really materially driven, so I'm specifically interested in how unprimed canvas retains information and knowledge. So I use additive and redactive processes of making. So I'll be sometimes dyeing the canvas and maybe scrubbing off the paint, and I sometimes deconstruct the canvas as well. I think for me it's like the idea of removing information, making it harder to read the image, interfering with the legibility that you encounter. I'm interested in like storytelling in general. I grew up in India and I moved to Aotearoa when I was 11 years old with my family. So I've grown up with a lot of Indian folklore, and I'm interested in how the folklore, how it's shaped and read or misread and translated, sometimes mistranslated, and how it's remembered and used to construct narratives. Because I noticed when I was growing up that stories can change even ever so slightly depending on who's telling the story and even who's listening. And in my practice, I'm trying to question and depart from extremist ideologies and sentiments formalized within our South Asian community. And then I do this by showing alternate ways of encountering a certain folklore. So I might reinterpret it and I might reject some aspects, cherry pick, and extend on some aspects of the myth. I'm really drawn to like the repetition in the culture and these symbols. Yeah, that's a bit about my practice.
I wanted to start the conversation about this exhibition specifically with talking about the title itself. It's got a bit of a double meaning. Are you able to speak to this and how this has thematically informed this body of work?
Yeah, so I was actually thinking about words or phrases that have dual meanings in Hindi and English. And sometimes meanings can be lost in translation, and, you know, or with like a mispronunciation comes miscommunication. I'm quite interested in that aspect. I was thinking about a phrase or a word that could be like, that could be read in both English and Hindi, but still add to the body of work, even with a possible mispronunciation. So Alag can be read, can be interpreted in Hindi as apart or parted, different. It has a couple of different meanings in different contexts. And it can also be read as a lag. And I was thinking, because my work lives in a very fantastical, futuristic, digital realm, I was thinking about like a glitch or a lag in communication, using this miscommunication or mispronunciation to actually aid the work and add to the context of the work.
Yeah, and I wanted to come back to, you know, what you were talking about before, talking about those kind of key interests that influence your practice. The works, like the majority of your practice, are influenced by Hindu iconography and folklore, and explore the ways in which these can be reimagined. In this show, you're further experimenting these reimaginations with cats and horses. Can you speak a bit more as to where you find inspiration and how that translates into the work, particularly with this body of work and those two symbols?
Yeah, I think it's, well, I want to draw more from the culture, so repeated symbols in maybe visual scriptures or like, sort of tales with morals in them instead of directly drawing from the religion. And these horses, they always felt like this symbol of freedom to me. And these cats are like cheeky, fun, playful beings. And, you know, this body of work feels like it quite silent, but quite jarring at the same time. Yeah, I just wanted to bend on sort of these winged horses that I've seen in visual representations. And they might be, they're not really main characters. They're quite like on the side, but they have, all of these characters have tales to them. So I just wanted to find ways to connect and extend on these symbols, really.
Yeah, with this show is also a continuation of a side of your practice which uses an airbrush tool to paint onto raw canvas. Can you talk us through what that process exactly looks like for you, particularly in comparison to other painting or sculptural styles you've employed in your practice before?
Yeah, the airbrush, I've been using it for a couple of years now, actually. I use it in a way where it's just on raw canvas, it's more staining. It is like a lo-fi device, which I quite like. And I think this show in particular, I was able to create this very collage-y effect, which was quite fun, like this repeating image just stacked on each other. Yeah, and so with this show, actually, I've been airbrushing and then scrubbing off a lot of the areas to reveal the raw canvas. I try not to use the color white or black too much because it does get quite murky using the airbrush very quickly, and then just the aesthetics for me, I feel like the staining feels quite right, especially depicting these images. That's basically how I use the airbrush, is add a little bit on and then I scrub most of it off.
And you've been talking quite a bit about this idea of repetition, particularly with this show. And it is something that I particularly notice, is this idea of kind of mirroring and each work maybe echoing with each other. And I'm thinking particularly about like the collection of the four cats in a diagonal line and the horse works that feel like they kind of communicate with each other in the space. When creating a body of work, is the ultimate cohesion of the works in an exhibition sense a big consideration for you?
So when I'm creating the work, I think I started just thinking about containing these symbols within a space. And I think when I first started, I had a lot more animals, but I wanted to keep it quite particular with the horse. I think the horse has been drawing me in quite a bit. Like this, I'm painting some statues, so I'll like chop and paste them, and they feel like they have this false sense of freedom. Almost, they look like they're moving, but they're quite rigid and stiff, and they're silent, they're blind, but they're following each other in a certain direction. I feel like there's a tension, but they still kind of communicate with each other quite effortlessly in a way. I feel like this is a start to my inquiry into blind cultural obedience. I was just trying to think about how storytelling changes with each teller and listener. So I was thinking about these symbols of freedom contained and stretched within the space. I just wanted to add a little bit about like the part of my practice that I'm at right now.
Yeah, no, please.
Which is, I feel like at the moment I'm still world building and still archiving symbols from these myths. And this is this idea that the body of work is quite far from the original depiction, but still carrying some essence of the original one. So I guess just back to your question, I am extending on these images, and I want to be able to allow people to carry on their own interpretation of the work, an extension of these old tales and these symbols that might not be seen quite often or have ever been. I mean, there is like the Pegasus, but like the Indian version of like the flying horse is maybe not many people have seen.
That was artist Tara Kasabawal speaking to me about her current solo exhibition at Season Alag. Alag is on until the 12th of July.